tonight we're looking at, we're starting to look at the three, what they call pilgrim festivals. These are festivals that have to do with what had happened on the way from Egypt to Canaan, and also they are the three times that everybody is supposed to go back to where, and they always say wherever God sets his name. Well, it ended up being Jerusalem, but originally it was Shiloh, which is where they set down the tabernacle until they built the temple. So Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting with verse 1 through verse 17. Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, because the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night in the month of Abib. Now, just as an aside, other places you will see them, and it will say the month of Nisan. Nisan was actually the way that it was, what it was called in later languages. But in Hebrew, it was actually Abib. Sacrifice to Yahweh your God as a Passover animal from the herd or flock in the place where the Lord chooses to have his name dwell. You must not eat leavened bread with it. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread with it, the bread of hardship, because you left the land of Egypt in a hurry, so that you may remember for the rest of your life the day you left the land of Egypt. No yeast is to be found anywhere in your territory for 7 days, and none of the meat you sacrifice in the evening of the first day is to remain until morning. You are not to sacrifice the Passover animal in any of the town the Lord your God is giving you. You must only sacrifice the Passover animal at the place where Yahweh your God chooses to have his name dwell. Do this in the evening as the sun sets at the same time of day you departed from Egypt. You are to cook and eat at the in the place the Lord your God chooses, and you will return to your tents in the morning. You must eat unleavened bread for 6 days. On the 7th day, there's to be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God, and you must not do any work. You are to count 7 weeks, counting the weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain. You are to celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God with a freewill offering that you give in proportion to how the Lord your God has blessed you. Rejoice before Yahweh your God in the place where he chooses to have his name dwell. Notably, where it says Yahweh, they would not say that. They would say Elohim, because they won't say that. Okay? But Moses wrote it because he's Moses. He can get away with that. You, your son, your daughter, your male and female slave, the Levite within your gates, as well as the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Carefully follow these statutes. You are to celebrate the festival of booths for 7 days when you've gathered in everything from your threshing floor and winepress. Rejoice during your festival. You, your son and daughter, your male and female slave, as well as the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow within your gates. You are to hold a 7-day festival for the Lord your God in the place he chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, and you will have abundant joy. All your males are to appear 3 times a year before the Lord your God in the place he chooses, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of booths. No one is to appear before the Lord empty-handed. Everyone must appear with a gift suited to his means, according to the blessing the Lord your God has given you. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to see how it applies to us. And help me to explain it as well as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the background of all this. Moses is coming out. They have come out of Egypt. They headed for Canaan. When they got there, they did not take the land like they should have. They were afraid. And they didn't trust God. So God had them wander about for 40 years in the wilderness. Following this, they had just completed wiping out the kingdom of Og, which is one of the kings of the Moabites, I think it was. And then there was also the king of Bashan, which was named Sihon. And they had wiped him out. And both of these had bigger armies than the Israelites. But the Israelites had God on their sides, and so they just wiped them slick. Moses is now at the point where he is recounting to them what had happened during all of this time, and he's giving them commandments to follow as they go into Canaan. And this is what the book of Deuteronomy is about. Deutero is Greek for a second time, and Deuteronomy means a second proclamation. So he's proclaiming all of the stuff that they had supposedly learned over these 40 years back to them, so to make sure they got it. And he says all males must appear three times in the year. Now, as we go through this, you're going to discover that the Jews didn't actually hold on to things precisely. They made a couple of changes as they went along, and I will explain that on the different times as we go through here. The first of these was Passover, or Pesach, which is, it means, it's Hebrew for Passover. Now, they call this the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then there's the Feast of Weeks. Now, you will notice that the explanation for it at this point is that you see when the sickle is first put to the standing grain, and at that point you count off 4 weeks, and you have the Festival of Weeks. By the time it had gotten to Jesus, it had turned into what is now called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is 50 days. That would be 7 weeks in one day, but instead of 49 days, it's 50 days. And it's actually called Shavuot, which is the giving of the law. Because 50 days after they went out of Egypt, they ended up at Mount Sinai, and Moses went up and got the law, the Ten Commandments. And so they celebrate that now. But they still call it the Festival of Weeks and all, but somehow it just always comes out exactly 50 days following Passover. And the last one is the Festival of Booths, which is called Sukkot, which is booths. And oat is means plural, and so the booths are called sukkahs. And they're made out of specific kinds of leaves, big, broad leaves that you put together to form four walls and make a booth for yourself to live in for 7 days. And it's interesting that the same kinds of ones actually happened just before Passover. They used the same plants, and it is a festival of having laying all of these branches and so on down on the ground, which is what they were doing when Jesus rode in. So what do all of these three festivals, what do they mean? Well, we're going to start with Passover. First of all, it has 7 days of unleavened bread. That's why they call it the Festival of Unleavened Bread. It's a reminder of the quick exit from Egypt. Now, once again, you're going to notice that there is the obvious connections and there's the less obvious connections that Jesus brought out later on in things. They did. They got up. They had their they had their unleavened bread because they couldn't let it rise. So it was unleavened. Now, leaven is a type of sin. You may remember I've said this before. There are things in the Bible that we refer to as types. And a type stands for something. And when you see it, you understand. And once again, the Jews understand this. They took it completely. That leaven is a type of sin. So they know that when you're going around getting all the leaven out of your house, it is an example of trying to get all the sin out of your house. You see, because they say if you put a little leaven in a dough, it'll spread to all of it. And that makes it rise and so on. And in most instances, that's good. But it's also an example of what sin does. You get a little in and it spreads everywhere. And then we have the lamb. Now, once again, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So he's the lamb is a type of Jesus. It's an example. Okay? It says it must be perfect. Well, of course, Jesus is the only perfect person that ever was. It must be roasted. You can't boil it. You can't do anything else with it but roast it over fire. Okay? And the reason is because this has to do with leaving really quickly. You have to be able to cook it quickly, eat it quickly, and let's get out of here. None of it can be left to the next day. Now, once again, that goes into the later Passovers. None can be left until the next day. Because when they left Egypt, they were having this lamb, and they ate the lamb, and within a couple of hours, the Egyptians are running them out. Get out of here. We don't want you here. All of our firstborn have died. And so none can be left. You burn it up or whatever you do, but you cannot eat any of it the second day. Once again, Jews, the day starts at sundown. And that's why they tell you, cook it at sundown, because that's the very beginning of the first day. It's the first thing you do. Then you can eat it. All you can have it for breakfast and for lunch and for all that, but you can't have it for supper the second day. Because as soon as the sun goes down, now it's a new day. None of it can be left. And then they also have bitter herbs that they talk about, that they have. And this is because slavery was so bitter. And they have salt water that they dip things into. And that stands for the tears of the people who were under these terrible, they were being oppressed. And then in a traditional Jewish, what they call Haggadah, which is the ceremony of Passover, it begins with a statement. Why is this night different from all other nights? And then they go into what they call the four questions. First of all, why do we only have unleavened bread when all other nights we have regular bread? Because we left Egypt in haste. And once again, if you look at it, I was going to bring it, and I didn't remember to ferret out my little copy. But all of this is scripted. The Father will say, why is this night different than all other nights? Why do we only have unleavened bread? Because and then the children will repeat back. They have a specific thing. And this, you know, it's a script. Why do we have bitter herbs when we never have bitter herbs? And he says, it's because in Egypt we were in slavery and we remember the slavery. Why do we dip things in salt water? Because it reminds us of the tears. Why are we eating this in a reclining position? Kind of leaned back and just with all of our clothes on and ready to go. Because we need to be ready to get out of here. When the Egyptians told us to leave, we had to go. And so we're remembering that we were in tremendous haste. We're leaving slavery. We had tears. And we had to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And then they have the blood on the doorposts. This is very interesting when you see it, but you have to think of it now because I don't have the ability to show it to you. I probably should try to make up a picture of this to show it, but they were supposed to slaughter the lamb at twilight. Twilight is exactly when you're starting the day. You know, they actually have a definition that if you hold out your hand, if you can still see it at the end of your arm, then it's today. And when you can't see it anymore, when it's getting too dark to see distinctly, now it has become the next day. Twilight, just as it's coming down, but it's the beginning of the day for a Jew. And they had to put it on the lintel, which is the thing that goes across the top, and the doorpost, which is the stuff, if you look at it like this, there's the doorpost, and it goes over. There's the lintel. Well, what happens is, the Jews wanted to make sure they got everything just right, so they would go beyond. They'd come up, and they would overrun it. And they would come sideways, and they would overrun it and come back across and get everything on that lintel and then go too far. And then they would do it on the other side. And if you took two steps back and looked at it, you would see two crosses. Which they never noticed. They never figured this out. And once again, they don't actually do that anymore. But if you look at it, you go up and down, it makes a cross. And of course, the idea behind this was, and God said it in Exodus, when the angel of death sees that blood, he will pass over you. Now, you have to understand, any Egyptian, and they told their Egyptian friends, any Egyptian who did that, who put that blood there, their firstborn child didn't die. I think this will get their attention, right? Any Israeli, any person in the nation of Israel who didn't do it, their firstborn child did die, even though they're one of the people of God, because they didn't do what they were told to do. The blood is what made the judgment pass over. And of course, we know that is an absolute type of Jesus. His blood got us forgiveness. And when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus and he says, Passover. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, stay away from sin. A little sin will infect everything. You get started, it's hard to stop. We all sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the harder you work at not sinning, the less you'll do it. We need to rely on Jesus. We need to understand there is nothing we can do that will ever get us reconciled to God. Okay? One of the things that I have always said, ever since I came to understand what the four spiritual laws was about, is that the idea of saying, if you don't do right, you're going to hell, doesn't really resonate with people. What they want to see is they want to see love. They want to see this is the rule. This is the way it works. Okay? And God is a merciful God, but he's also a just God. So you have to do what the rules say in order to get that mercy instead of the justice you deserve. We rely on Jesus for that. God loves you and has a plan for your life. Why are you not experiencing God's love and plan for your life? Because you're blocked from him by sin. And as it happens, Jesus actually came to give his life, to pay the price for that. So you don't have to pay the price for that. And the last thing is, everybody has to do it for themselves as a voluntary act. They just have to say, I accept that sacrifice. His blood redeems us. His blood causes the angel of death to pass over us. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said when he first saw him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. Follow him. And that's when his ministry ended. He sent all of his disciples to follow Jesus. The first disciples Jesus had, many of them, were actually John's disciples. Andrew was a disciple of John. He went and got his brother Peter. Philip, Nathan, they were disciples of John the Baptist. But they came to follow Jesus because John said, there's one coming after me whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He's so much greater than me. And he sent his disciples to follow Jesus. This is why I love this series, The Chosen, because it shows Jesus for who he is. It shows John telling everybody, not me. I have to recede back into the woodwork, and he has to come forward and take over. It's just a wonderful thing to see. And to get the idea of this wonderful Jesus who takes everybody who comes to him, takes away their sins, and makes them perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here. We'd ask you to bless us, guide us, go with us. Help us to learn from the Old Testament all the things that point directly to Jesus. Help us to be fascinated by this and to keep looking for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.